Hey, it's Brendan dropping in here on something special. I think the most important thing you can do in your life is to train yourself for real personal growth and success. What does that mean anyway? Well, you have to train your mindset and train your discipline so you can follow real habits of success, so that you can break through, so you can win the day more often, so you can crush through all those fears and actually unlock your real potential for abundance and happiness and power and joy. But how? Well, like all learning and all breakthroughs, you have to choose first to learn from the best, to invest in yourself, to do the work, to do the daily work. You have to train with the best, and that's why we created Growth Days Mastery Program. Listen, we're gonna train you to make self-improvement a real way of life, to unlock your positive attitude and attributes at a whole new level, to get you way more productive and influential, to show you the life and career strategies that make you unstoppable and really work. But how do we do that? Well, every single week we bring you a new $50,000 or $100,000 keynote speaker, multimillionaire, or world's foremost expert to switch your brain into high performance mode, to teach you what really works in wellness, in health, in mindset, in productivity. People who really help you unblock and move ahead with really practical strategies for changing your life, your relationships, your health, your career, your mission, your purpose. Every month, we unlock a new course that would have cost you thousands of dollars to buy from other teachers on brain health or positive psychology or confidence. Every year, we give you free tickets to an unbelievable motivational and transformational seminar. Every day, I give you an advanced life coaching audio to keep your mind sharp, energized, focused, motivated, confident, ready to serve and to lead and win and build your greatest future at the levels you dream of. And I promise you, you are capable of. Every day can truly be a growth day for you, but it takes mastery in life. And that's why we have our new program, Mastery Level in Growth Day. You can go to yearofmastery.com and it will direct you to our best program in Growth Day. This is for those who really want the advanced level, who really want a breakthrough, who are tired of, hey, listen, podcasts are great, but training is another level. Go to yearofmastery.com. You deserve to join the world's number one membership for advanced personal growth and success right now. This is a membership of the real people doing the real work, who have a positive mindset, a growth mindset, a willingness to be a role model, to be a leader, to serve, who desperately and deeply and joyfully love personal development, to challenge themselves, to push themselves, to achieve great things in life. Go to yearofmastery.com. Let's go. Yearofmastery.com. Hey, my friends, it's Brendan, and welcome to another special episode in this new series for influencers. It's a sort of behind-the-scenes look into my career as an author, speaker, coach, seminar leader, online trainer, social media thought leader, what we just call now the influencer industry. It's how I run my influencer career, and I like to share some tactical things with you here in this episode that I know you'll love. Now, this audio is actually pulled from our influencer business program. If you haven't heard what that is, that's where I go live every single month and I teach you, how do you build a personal brand? How do you get a bigger audience following you? How do you make money from that? How do you build community and impact? How do you launch podcasts and courses and do email marketing and everything you see us doing? If you love that kind of thing, then man, I would love for you to join us at the Influencer 2019 event in San Diego. It's October 10th through 12th, again in San Diego, California. And that's where you're gonna come to learn from some of the best influencers in the world about how do you start and how do you really grow? How do we start from scratch and grow our brand and monetize content and reach more people and build a community of followers around the world and scale an actual business doing it? Just go to influencertickets.com
Again, that's influencertickets.com to join us in San Diego, October 10th through 12th, where I say join us because it's a real community of people teaching you exactly how we started from scratch. It's people like Rachel Hollis, who you know has had two back-to-back number one New York Times bestsellers, one of the most successful authors in the world today. Dean Graziosi, who he and Tony Robbins just did a $30 million online launch. Lewis Howes, podcast extraordinaire at the School of Greatness. Trent Shelton, one of the absolute best viral video makers in the world and inspiration to so much of our youth. Tom Bilyeu, who built a billion-dollar brand and now runs the Impact Theory show, which I love so much. And so many more real influencers teaching you, how did we do it? I mean, listen, there's no question if you listen to me, you've been impacted, I hope, by what I do. And I'm just here to say, why can't you do that? You know, why can't you have a similar career? It's not like I'm some magician or have some magical abilities. I had to learn to identify what topic and passions I wanted to follow, just like we'll teach you. I had to learn how to build a personal brand and audience, just like we'll teach you. And I had to learn, ultimately, how do you actually earn an income and earn revenue from it, building a business doing it that you love to run. If you're in that game, my friend, go to influencertickets.com. Join us October 10th through 12th in San Diego. I'm sure by the time you're hearing this, our tickets, there's probably only maybe a couple hundred left, I'm guessing. So please make sure you go check it out, influencertickets.com. It will give you all the dates, details, and limitations because you got to get there. If you're totally new to the industry, it's okay. This is especially where you want to come so you can meet new people in the industry, but also see how the best of the best do it and just follow our plans. You guys know I'm always saying, you know, coming from Montana, we always say the time to have the map is before you enter the woods. So if you're really into building a personal brand and a major audience, even if you're just starting, this is when you need to learn. Don't go try to figure it out yourself. Follow the strategies that work. We're teaching them at Influencer 2019, October 10th through 12th in San Diego. Again, go to influencertickets.com. Without further ado, please enjoy this training that I did live for our influencer community. Please realize that I might reference something visual that maybe you can't see, but we've edited it in such a way that you can definitely follow these strategies, understand, and learn a lot of the behind the scenes of how the influencer space works, what you can be doing in marketing, and how to grow a real business doing it. With that, my friends, no further ado, let's jump into this episode. Stage presentation skills. How do you kill it in front of an arena full of people, or 50 people, or 500 people? How do you do a great job with your speech so that you know it's authentic and real and vibrant and fun for you, and you get booked over and over and over again? How do you get that standing ovation so that they keep calling you, so that everyone's talking about you, so your social media blows up? That's our topic right here this month. With that, I'm gonna jump in to seven things you need to do to master your presentation. These are critical, these are musts, and they will change how you connect with and relate with other people. Number one thing that is really important for everything in public speaking, and it's the one thing I think most people fail at, and that number one thing is to adopt the leadership mentality. Most people go into a speech and they're like, I hope I survive. And they're in survival mode. That's all they're thinking about. They're thinking about their message, maybe their story, maybe thinking about the audience. But the reality it is, and trust me, I've been on a lot of stages and I've been blessed to train 6-7 years. Some of the best speakers in the world. The truth is, when you dig down deep into people's psychology on stage, most of them are just trying to get through. They'll tell you, I'm gonna try to do something new. I'll try to do something different. I'll try to nail it. But the truth is, psychologically, they just wanna survive because they're scared. You've got to change that mentality. The most important thing on stage presentation is to tell, can I see that you're a leader? That's it. And whatever that means authentically and true for you, but it is not a place that is shaking. It is not a place
that is terrified, even if the nerves are there, even if the butterflies are in full force, flying in formation, eating your stomach from the inside out, I still need to see you as a leader. I need to see you adopt that mindset that you know before you walk out on stage, it's your moment. Listen, the best thing I can tell you, two different kinds of people. One person walks on stage wanting to survive, concerned about self, concerned about ego, and one walks out like Dr. Martin Luther King, ready to go. You've got to be in a place, like which one are you going to be? Are you going to shout it from the rooftops and shake the mountains and change the world? Or are you going to be a shrinking violet in front of everybody? You're going to make that choice one day in your life. And I'm going to tell you, the day that you make that choice, everything is going to shift. I get it that people are scared of public speaking. I get it that it can be intimidating. I understand the nerves and the anxiety that comes up. I still get that. I'm not here to tell you, go out there and be perfect. I'm here to tell you, the nerves are going to be there. The anxiety is going to be there. But the mindset you adopt about what you're about to go and do, are you going to go lead the troops? Are you going to go change the world? Are you going to go deliver awesome? Or are you going to go apologize for yourself? Are you going to go try to breathe through it? Are you going to go be concerned about yourself? And that's the game changer. And trust me, it is not an easy place to get to. I can't tell you how many rooms of 30 people I talked to before I talked to 50, before I talked to 100, before I talked to 300, before 500, more 1,000. I've spoken to over 30,000 people live this summer. I got another couple thousand coming up in the next couple months. And so it's been a very big year. And some of you saw, you know, me talking to 17,000 people in an arena, 5,000 people at Caesar's Palace. I mean, you've seen me on social media, hopefully doing all this nonsense. But I share with you the changing day when you can take an arena of people and light them up and get them to connect is the day it's not about you anymore. It's about the leadership mentality that your job is to go lead, not go survive. And if you keep thinking about your survival, how you feel, what you look like, did you wear the right shoes? Is your hair okay? Will they listen? Do you look your best? Is the makeup perfect? Are you getting the shot? Is your team getting the B-roll? And you're concerned about all of that, and you're not concerned about leadership and what it feels like inside and to others for you to lead authentically and powerfully, get off the stage, get out of the game, leave my industry. That's it. We don't need more egoists on stage. We need more leaders. And I think you see that in our political cultures around the world right now. I think you see that in our businesses. We have so many people who are terrified to lead, but are full-on narcissists anyway. You know what I'm talking about? You've got to get over yourself and stop thinking about yourself. And all these concerns, everything we're going to talk about public speaking always comes back to someone saying, I'm scared, stage fright. I'm like, yeah, there's stage fright and there's leadership. Which one do you want? And once you make that change and it becomes binary and clear to you that you're being called to lead in that moment, you're going to step into that leadership mentality, into that leadership role. Because look, you're on the stage. They put you on that stage to lead, not to apologize for yourself. They're not paying you to apologize for yourself. They're not paying you to feel insecure. They're paying you to lead their people. And when you take that seriously, when you really step into the role of servant leadership, you are no longer stuck in stage fright. Now you feel the responsibility. And some people go, oh my God, the responsibility is just as scary, Brian. That causes a ton of anxiety. I'm like, good. Good, let it ride. Let the anxiety be there. Go do your job. I have the anxiety all the time. I worry about it too. Trust me, when I walk out, 29,000 people in an arena, sometimes I'm like, whoa. Okay, I feel it. The thunder of that number of people clapping, the thunder of the speakers, the terror of the lights blinding you, the smoke and the laser sometimes. I mean, sometimes don't stand over there because we're going to shoot this thing out of this thing. Okay, like I didn't get into the game for the pyrotechnics. I've got to get myself straightened away and ready to win. And the way that I do that is I get out of me. And I really connect with the fact that I'm being called to lead. They wrote me the check to lead. So please remember that. They're writing you the check to lead. They're not writing the check because you're cute. because you're authentic, because you're vulnerable. They are writing you the check to lead their people. And when you become razor clear about that, everything shifts in your approach to this game. And I really want you to hear that. Because now we're in this culture where it's like, oh, just go be vulnerable and go be authentic and whatever. I'm like, no. If they wanted you to do that, they'd tell other people, watch her social media. She's real cute. We like her shoes. You know, oh, go look at her thing over there. Look, if they just wanted your authentic, vulnerable side, they just hire a bunch of people to go up and tell really sad, amazing, touching stories. They'd parade 30 children across the thing, all carrying balloons. The point is missed. If you miss the fact that you are being brought in to lead, that's the check, my brother. That's the check, my sister. That's the check, my friend. The check is to lead their people. And as soon as you adopt that, whoa, dude, you change everything. It's a total shift. And I can share that with you because I didn't get that at the beginning. I mean, my first couple of years, I was so terrified because I was in myself. I was in my ego. I was thinking about how does Brendan feel and what's he going to say about his story because his story is his life message. Nah. Then I realized it's like, okay, I can align my story and I can align myself with that moment where I'm being called to lead. But ultimately, the moment is about being called to lead, not about me. You've got to understand this. It's got to be so clear to you. You're being called to lead. You want to be awesome on stage? Number one, adopt the leadership mindset. What does that mean for you? What does being a leader mean to you? What does a leader mean to that organization? What does a leader mean historically? If you have not yet in your life made it a study of leadership, man, you're not even playing the game yet. You might be awesome, but you're not playing the game yet. I was blessed. My very first book, Student Leadership Guide, I wrote for the Student Leadership Center at the University of Montana. Then it became this big deal, and it was my first like kind of win. I self-published it first. Well, the university published it. Then I self-published it, and it became my first big deal. And to this day, it's still a huge deal. It was my master's thesis, was on leadership. And the reason I got in leadership so early and studying it was because I said, I want to be one day. And I wasn't one, and I didn't know anything about it, but I wanted to be one. So if your shelf doesn't have 5 leadership books on it, what are you doing? I know a lot of people, they have books, they have spirituality books, you know, they got personal development books, they got business books, but no leadership books. I'm like, then don't try to get on the stage. Like, don't even mess around with being on stage because you forgot the point. The point is to lead. So stop making so much of your focus just learning marketing, just learning business, just learning some crafty thing, and make it a business to learn how to lead. Because in the paid speaking world, that's what you're paid for. So you better get good at it, my brothers and my sisters, and I'm on a roll. Here we go. Number one, make sure you adopt the leadership mentality. Now, tactically, let's get into it, okay? Tactically, now it gets fun once you know that. And when you come from, once you get in that space, everything is fun. It's messaging and performance now. So here we go. Number two, you got to know the 4 C's, okay? The 4 C's. Bust out your journal. Let me explain what these 4 C's are. And they're one way of preparing the messaging of your speech. And I would say this is what most people forget to do. Because here's what most people, when they're getting paid to speak or starting in the industry, their question is, who am I? What's my life's message? What should I share? And again, it's all about them. But when you really get good, and you know, most of you guys know I'm $75,000 for a US domestic keynote. So all those things you see on social media, all those big arenas, those are $75,000 starting to get me in that room. And to get to that level, I had to learn the 4 C's, right? Before, I was a good speaker, I was entertaining, I had good takeaways, I had an interesting story, but when I learned the 4 C's, I started getting paid. Okay, 4 C's. Number one, and the 4 C's mean these are the things you have to know about your audience for messaging, and you have to be strategic about them. Number one, you have to know what to celebrate, right? That's the first of the 4 C's. What are you there to celebrate? What message are you going to talk about? Like, how are you going to celebrate the audience? How are you going to give them credit and cheer them on for the context that they are in, right? They're in that room to learn something or to celebrate something or to go to the next level. For some reason, their company, their organization, whatever, brought them together. And you need to know who and what you are going to celebrate. So what do I mean by that? First, I need to know what's the context here? Why are we all together and how can I celebrate that? How can I celebrate their continuing education and make sure I say that? How can I celebrate their theme, if they have a theme, which we'll talk about? How can I celebrate specifically how far they've come in an organization? I need to know, have they been growing in this organization? What have they achieved in the last 4 quarters that I can celebrate? And when I say it to them, they know, oh, he's got the inside track. He knows where we've been. He knows our journey. He's celebrating it. He's like a third party coming in here, cheering us on. If you don't know your messaging of what you're going to celebrate to the audience explicitly, you're not even in the game. Second C is, what are you going to confront? This means you need to know the audience's bad behaviors. You need to know where they're screwing up, where they're screwing off, where they're not getting any results. That's, again, you knowing your audience. Where have they screwed up in the last 4 months? Where do they tend to screw up? What's the problem? Where is the laziness? Where's the lack of discipline? Where is the lack of teamwork, the lack of leadership? Like, you need to know where you're going to confront them, and that messaging needs to be a compelling part of your speech. And when, because you're a third party, you're being called to lead, you've got to confront the bad behavior and you need to know what it is. So I specifically ask before I go on, one of the things I'll ask the coordinators, the event planners, whoever hires me to bring in, I'll ask them, I'll say, what's some things your people are doing that you know they shouldn't be doing or that you hate that they do that's hurting their performance? And I'll listen. You know, they get distracted, they do this, they do that. And I'll make sure that in my speech, I specifically confront that. And I call it out to them. I'll say, hey, look, I know everyone wants to go in here, but sometimes you guys are doing this. And then you're doing this. And you're doing this. And you're doing this. And you all know that's screwing you up and it's hurting the organization. You all know that's hurting, right? And I raise my hand. And they all go, yeah, that hurts it. Calling that out makes you a leader. When you call out and this is the scariest thing to do, because everyone wants to placate and cajole and just make everyone feel good. You want to do that. But when you go to another level in speaking, you're willing to confront it. Now, you don't have to do it type A masculine, or you don't have to do it with my tone here, but you got to do it. You got to figure out a way to call out the bad behavior. And if you give a whole presentation and you don't call out an audience's bad behavior and what's holding them back, whatever that is, whether it's a thought, a belief, a way they interact with other people, a distraction that they have. If you don't call that out, your speech sucked. And you might even get a standing ovation. I get it, but you won't be here in 10 years. And that's hard to tell people, but I've seen so many people come in. They're the big celebrity, they're the big name, they had the big TED talk, they're seemingly awesome and everyone loves to cheer them on, and then they're gone because they weren't leading. So they stopped getting rebooked and rebooked and rebooked and rebooked. See, one of the nice things about hiring you is you get to be a third party mouthpiece for the coordinators. So I always ask them, I say, what's something you would love to call out your people on, but you can't say it or you wouldn't say it because you might appear to be a jerk. Like, what would you love to just say to them if you could? Like, just go right at that thing they're doing wrong. What would that be? Because maybe I can say it in a different way for you. And then I'll write those things down. And so that's why leaders rebook me. Because when I get on stage, they're like, I can't believe he said that. I wish I could say that. I can't say that because I work here. But I can say it. You see? So you got to know what you're going to confront. The third of the four C's is, what are you going to challenge? And what I mean by that is specifically, what challenges are you going to issue to the audience, right? Confronting is calling out a bad. Challenge is setting something out. Do this in 10 days. Do this in 15 days. Here's a 10-day challenge. Here's a 30-day challenge. Here's something I want you to do next time. I challenge you, next time your spouse yells at you, do this, right? That's a challenge. So set a situation or set a date or set something where you are explicit about a challenge that you're asking the whole audience to get into and agree to, right? It can be as simple as like, hey, you know, next time you hear yourself complaining, would you all agree next time you hear yourself complaining to immediately stop complaining, think of something you're grateful for and give one compliment. Would you all do that? And everyone goes, yes, right? It's simple. It can be a challenge just like that. Very simple. Or it can be something that you're challenging because you've agreed with the leader who brought you in to engage in a challenge. Maybe they've said, we're going to do these five things in this 5 weeks. Whatever the challenge is that the senior leaders have posed to their people, you want to champion that and add a little bit to it, right? So if they say, these are our quarterly goals, we're all going toward it. And you can say, are you excited about that, right? And they say, yeah. It's like, okay, great. Well, here's something I challenge you to do every day. And give them a daily thing to do. Like people love a daily challenge, right? You can just say, I challenge you every single morning to work out. Who's in that? Who would try every single morning to work out, even if it's just 15 minutes? And you get a raise of a hand on that. That's a huge way to do whatever you want with the audience. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about structure here. I want to be very clear. I'm not saying first you celebrate and then you confront. And then you challenge. I'm talking about messaging themes. You need to know your messages behind all these four C's. Okay, and then the fourth C, the final C, is the charge. And the charge, I don't mean my book, The Charge. I do, buy it, read it, own it. What I mean is the charge as in what is the charge you're going to give the audience? What is that call to action, that thing you want everybody to do at the end of the speech? Right? That's that. If you've ever seen me speak, I explicitly say it. I say, hey, listen, when you all walk out of this arena today, or when you all walk out of the, you know, the doors of your homes and organizations for the rest of your lives, I want you to, like, what is it? What's the charge you're giving? What's the call to action you're going to give at the end of this speech? You need to know your messaging for that, which we'll talk about too. So this is just helping me plan. Right? I adopt the leadership mindset. Okay, I'm being called to lead these folks. I need to know where I'm going to lead them. And one way I know how I'm going to lead them, I'm like, okay, what am I celebrating with them? What am I confronting with them? What am I challenging them on? And what's the charge I'm going to give them? By thinking through that, my messaging gets better. Even if your story and my story are different, it doesn't matter. If I see you do a good job celebrating, confronting, challenging, and charging them, oh man, you're a better speaker than 9 out of 10 of them who might have a better story than you. See, you're comparing yourself right now. How dramatic is my story versus everybody else's story? And I'm like, oh God, it doesn't matter. Your story could be a terrible story, a stupid story, a funny story. It doesn't matter. But if you don't do the four C's, your presentation's worthless to me. At least as a, I'm just talking about as a person who writes the checks. Right? Just a person to check. How many speakers I've seen get on, they tell a great story. I'm like, they're never going to make any money. How many people, they're an amazing presenter. I'm like, they're not going to be here in 5 years because they didn't do the four C's. The four C's is the critical element to your messaging that's so important. Number three, themes and stars, okay? You got to know your themes and your stars in an event. Every event that you're going to get paid to get brought into, if the event coordinator, the production team, or those in the leadership who are going to be there, there's always a theme. Especially the bigger event you go, there's a theme, something there that the leader, the facilitator, the speaker, there's a theme they're trying to create there. You need to interview them about that theme. Why did you choose this theme? Why does this organization need this theme now? What are you going to say to your audience about this theme? Are there any messages you'd like me to add that you think would make this theme even better? Because if you tie into their theme, they friggin' love you. If you forget the theme, they think you're a canned speech guy. The way an event coordinator knows if you are a canned speech guy or with their audience is the four C's and the theme. If you tie into their theme and you do a great job at that, like every story you tell, you find a way to tie into the theme, or every point you teach, you tie a way to to add that word of the theme or the words of the theme into that takeaway point, they friggin' love you for it. It's like, just imagine every time you mention the theme, all those event coordinators, anyone who wrote the check, all the senior leaders who put this together, they can't believe it. They're so stoked. It's like, that's checking off the bare minimum for them. They friggin' love you. And if you don't do it, you're canned speaker, you don't get brought back because they think that you only have one speech. And I see this all the time. People rarely get brought back because the event coordinator thinks you only got one speech because you didn't do the four C's and you didn't think about the theme. So if you're a canned speech guy, they might even like you, might even get a standing ovation. They might even send you a testimonial, but they don't rehire you because they think you only got one speech. Because if you can't tailor it to what you're doing there, they get bored with you and they worry that you won't do a good job for them next time. So tie in that theme. Really make sure you nail that. Put it in there. Like, make them feel it. Include it in part of your introduction. Say it two or three times throughout your speech and end with it as well. They'll love you forever. But I said, know your themes and stars. What do I mean by your stars? The stars mean who are the stars in the room? In other words, who are the heroes in the room to the organization? Right? You need to know a person or a couple people and their story and why in that organization they're the heroes, they're the stars, right? They're the top performers, whatever you want to call it. And you don't need to know many of them, but if you knew two of them, you change everything. So if you ever see me speak, I always acknowledge the founders if they're in the room. I'll bring up some kind of, if I'm talking about hardship in my story, I'll also bring up the hardship of the founder and I'll point right at them, I'll celebrate them, and I'll tell everybody to give them a round of applause. So I make somebody in the room a hero. I make somebody in the room acknowledged of their organization. So it's not just about you and your story. It's about you finding one or two people who you can celebrate on stage, who you can acknowledge, who you can get a round of applause for them. The audience goes bananas for that stuff. And they'll always say the same thing. Thank you for bringing my people in this. You really knew my organization. You knew my people. And it doesn't take you just a few minutes to find one or two people you can acknowledge or honor in that audience. It's a big deal. Don't forget, you're stepping into someone's house. You need to know the members of the household. You know what I'm saying? If you and your spouse or your partner or your friend are going to somebody's barbecue, of course you say, whose barbecue is this? What do they do? What's it about? Who should I know here? Should I meet somebody here? You know, you're thoughtful about that, going to someone's backyard. Well, someone's writing you a check, you better know everybody that you're gonna need to meet or know or acknowledge at that party. Notice, please, none of this so far has anything to do with you. Leadership mentality is about servant leadership, it's about them. If you don't know anything about servant leadership, make sure you read Robert Greenleaf's work on servant leadership. So leadership mentality, the four C's, and knowing your themes and stars, to me, that's the bare minimum in which you deserve to be on that platform. And what's amazing to me, and the reason I started with those versus starting with you, is because even though I think that's the bare, don't you think that's the bare minimum? Don't you think every speaker should think about those three things? And yet I would say 9 out of 10 speakers I see, they haven't thought about it. They haven't asked about it. They don't know anybody in the audience. They don't tie into the theme. They're thinking about themselves, so they're nervous. They have this, you know, that they project nervousness versus leadership. Like, I'm okay if you're nervous. Don't project nervousness. I'm nervous, but I project leadership. Follow the difference? I think it's also really important that if you don't know what you're celebrating, confronting, and challenging, and charging, I don't know why you're there. All those first 3 points are all about your role in the audience.
Okay, it's Brendan. And yeah, I'm going to serve you up a quick little promotion right here to make sure you learn a little bit more with us. If you're enjoying this, let's dive deep. And there's two ways that you can do that. One, obviously, I told you about at the beginning of this episode, where you can join us at Influencer 2019, October 10th through 12th in San Diego. Because if you love this kind of stuff, come learn how 10 other people do it, just like I do it. But also, if for whatever reason you can't make San Diego, October 10th through 12th, then join our Influencer Business Program. That's where I go live, just like you've been hearing, and I teach every month how to build your personal brand, how to do better marketing, and make it really, really specific so that there's tactical things you can do. And I teach really the world's influencers every single month. I go live, I do Q&A, I give a new strategy. I try to teach something that has earned at least six figures, and I try to teach that every single month. So make sure you join that Influencer Business Program if you can't join us live in San Diego. How do you do both? Well, just go to influencermagazine.com. That's influencermagazine.com and choose your adventure. Do you want to come to the live event or would you like to join the Influencer Business Program, the online training component? You get to choose multiple levels. So just go to influencermagazine.com and choose your own adventure with us. Would you like to join us at the live event or would you like to join the online program? And hint, 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 the online program does come with some tickets to the live event as well, because it's an ongoing subscription. And Influencer, the live event, is an annual event. So are you confused? Are you ready? Are you excited to start? Would you like to share your passions, your wisdom with the world and achieve financial freedom, lifestyle freedom, and most importantly, real impact? Y'all, go to influencermagazine.com right now. All right, with that, let's jump right back into the episode.
Now we can get the stuff that you probably want to know about. Number four is the three-story rule. You need to have three great stories in any speech. Like, great stories. Like, and here's what a great story is. It emotionally grabs you. It either elevates them out of the chair with enthusiasm or brings out an emotion of nostalgia or tears, but you need three great emotional stories minimum. Like for me, if you've ever seen my stuff, I do five. So I do five teaching points, and with each teaching point, I give a great story. That's kind of my structure for my speeches. I like that because, and I make sure that it shows growth, right? I ease it in with a little struggle, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger and stronger and more bold as a teaching point. But that's really important to me personally. Almost every speech I do, five takeaways and five super emotional stories that go along with it. And those stories, they can be yours or somebody in the audience's, but you want them to have that compelling emotional thing that only comes from usually like vulnerability, struggle, or beating the odds. You know, everyone loves a rags to riches story. Everyone loves a heartbreak story. Everyone loves a story of, you know, the ups and downs. Everyone loves a story of the dreamer, the underdog. These are big stories, which I'm sure you're fully aware of, that those all really resonate with people. And so you need to know yours. And I want you to really be able to nail them. And if you don't feel like you can tell five great stories in 45 minutes, you need to practice a lot. You need to practice a lot. You know, I can get five great stories in 30 minutes. So don't feel like story equals duration, because you can get, I mean, if you know a good speaker, if they can knock out 10 stories in 30 minutes, you know, that's like, that's amazing. But you don't need many. I'm suggesting you need at least three. If you do 60 minutes and you don't get me three times really emotionally connected with your journey, your story, or what you're trying to get us to do, or a greater, you know, story or cultural thing going on, yeah, I'm just bored. You really got to get them. You can be the greatest trainer in the world, but without emotion, you're really missing it. You're really missing it. And so I would love for you to identify what are the most emotional stories you have of your life. A good way to do this is to go back through the time zones of your life and really identify the real memorable things that happened to you and learn to tell that story. I mean, you might not tell all of them, but you know what? Go back to elementary school and like crank on your memories. What happened to you? What was emotional? What was great? What was bad? And remember those and zoom in on those stories. What happened in high school or what happened in college or in your first job or when you first started the business or when you had that breakthrough? really zoom in on some stories. I mean, go right into that. What were you thinking, feeling, believing? What was the context? Really identify the major stories of your life. Because if you don't know the major stories of your life, you're just telling the story that's easiest for you to tell. You're lacking, like, your stories from the time zones of your life, those are like the basics in your toolbox as a speaker. And once you know them, like, you can tell me any topic in the world, I can pull a story out of my toolbox that will match that. Because I've done the hard work of just straight up good old fashioned self-reflection to identify all the stories throughout my life and what were my lessons in them. I think that's just part of both self-reflection and self-awareness, personal development, maturity, but it's also part of being great in service to others. So I really want you to think about this. What are those big stories? I mean, if you are a person above the age of 30, you should have 30 stories by now. Like, you should have 30 really great emotional stories. It's really, really true. You've got to look back at your life and find those stories. And don't think they need to be these huge transformational stories that were transcendent. It can be little things like, you know, I tell a story on some stages of getting my finger slammed into a locker from a friend of mine who came by and slammed a locker on my finger. Wasn't a big deal. I tell a story of failing a test. I tell a story of watching my dad deal with hardship. You know, they don't have to be superhuman. Sometimes the more everyday the story, the more universal, the more specific, the more real people feel it. So don't feel like it has to be this huge thing. What it has to be is emotional and meaningful to you, and that has to project, and they have to feel that. And there's ways to accomplish that. I teach the bounce. And the bounce is where you learn to tell your story, but as you're telling your story, you bounce back out into the audience perspective. And instead of saying, I experienced this, I saw that, you bounce into them and you say, and you saw this, and you see this, and you think that. So it goes from I to you, and that's called the bounce in public speaking, if you didn't know what it is. And I'll show you how I do it, like in my car accident story, if you've ever seen me tell that. If you've ever broken down the car accident story, I'm actually half the time talking about the audience, but they think I'm telling my car accident story. And if you watch it, it's like very artfully done with the bounce. And you have to learn that bounce to go back and forth with your story. So within each of your stories, even if you only tell three, remember your bounce. You never, never ever just tell your story. Don't go from start of your story to end of your story and not bounce back to the audience in that story. Like, that's what a lot of newbies do. They just go, well, this was my story, and they tell their story. You got to bounce into the audience and back into your story. Into the audience and back into your story with what you're saying. Number five. You have to learn to break the barrier. And what this means in public speaking is you've got to break the physical barrier of the attendees. What does that mean? You don't want to do a whole speech where they're just sitting like this. You got to get the audience to move, to participate, to literally physically do something. Where that physically do something is put one hand up, put both hands up, turn to your neighbor, high five them, turn to your neighbor, hug them, turn to your neighbor, shake them. Whatever you have to do, hold up their water bottle. You must give commands to have them physically do something. Hold up your journal, grab your pen, move them. And if you do that, like, you see me, I get people up doing air squats and doing Qigong, doing deep breathing, shouting things out. The more participative you do, when you break the physical barrier and you do it well, everyone's like, whoa. They can't believe it because so few people got the guts to do that. That's why you get brought back. You didn't just go up, deliver your canned speech and leave. You actually moved them. I mean, physically, you had them do something. People can't believe that. It takes a lot of practice. It takes some skill. but rather it's part of what you're doing as an experience, and they love it because you're actually teaching something while you're doing it. I think that might help you. Break the physical barrier, but do it with art bliss. So think about what's a teaching point you can use for them to hold up something, move something, high five, hug, stand and talk, do something, because it's so rare that someone will have the guts to do it. And those who do it literally today in this world, they're the highest paid speakers in the world because they learn to do it authentically with the teaching point in a way that serves the audience, not just to get the audience and frame the audience and command the audience. Number six, move like an animal. The worst thing you can do is stand behind a podium, or the worst thing you can do is stand there with your microphone and take four steps this way once in a while, four steps that way, with lack of direction, with lack of urgency and need and vibrancy. You need to move on that stage. This is an ode to Bo Eason because I think he's probably the world's best at moving on stage. Like, he looks like a caged animal. He looks like he might jump out at any minute and eat your face. Like, he's stalking that stage, and you feel his ferocity and his movement, and his, like, there's, it's not just charisma there, it's like chaotic a little bit, and you're like, you can't take your eyes off him because he might punch you in the face kind of thing. Now, you don't have to do it that aggressive, but you need to move. Ladies, especially in our industry, it tends to take longer, and they don't give themselves the permission to do it, and you've got to do it. Standing there, and people say, well, Brendan, you don't understand, you know, standing in high heels or some other poor metaphor that people use, and I'm like, listen, no, a great speaker moves on stage. Doesn't matter what they're wearing, and if what they're wearing prevents it from, they're going to wear something different. Because you know what looks stupid is you standing there all squunched up in clothes that don't fit or shoes that don't allow you to move. You want to be impressive, you need to move on stage, not worrying about what you're wearing. I'd rather have you wear jeans and flip-flops and a t-shirt and move than be in the perfect skirt that is really tight and shows off how cute you are, but doesn't allow you to move. Or shoes that compromise your ability to get from that side to this side. Like, you got to move. Everyone watching this, you need to make it a life goal to go from end to end on a stage. And I know it takes work. I just did a stage that was 155 feet wide, that the LED behind me was 55 feet tall and weighed 86 Honda Civics. It was one of the biggest indoor LEDs that exist today. It was enormous. And the stage was so huge. And you have to force yourself to work the whole stage because it's easy to stay in that spot. Number seven, this is the biggest one. This is how you get your standing ovation. So write it down. CTA, crescendo loopbacks. Big fancy words. CTA, crescendo loopback. What does it mean? You need to know your call to action at the end of the speech. You need to rehearse that over and over and over and over and over. But here's two elements you need to do during that call to action at the end of the speech if you want to tear the place apart and really make them go crazy. At the end, you do two things with the call to action. First, you make sure you crescendo. Those last few moments for you, it should be a spiritual lift. It should be an emotional, vocal, physical liftoff. Like, you want that to end, because if you do that, if you achieve liftoff, they stand up and they cheer, right? And you got to find the way for you. So I'm not trying to, notice I didn't give anyone here an exact, you know, structure. That wasn't my goal with this speech or with this training here. But what I'm trying to do is give you some concepts that will help you be better. And the crescendo loop back is a way to do your call to action. First, you crescendo with volume, pitch, melody, movement, in whatever way that is appropriate for you. Crescendo doesn't have to be loud in a big bang, but it has to feel like this closure and this moment is happening. Even if it's silent, quiet, and honoring, that's okay too. So don't think crescendo means it necessarily has to be louder, but it has to be a crescendo experience, okay? It has to feel like this is, there got to be a moment at the end, right? You got to think about that. In that last 2 or 3 minutes, you need to know your moment, and you're going for that moment full-heartedly, and that really gets them, okay? That really gets them. So here's another one on part of this, the CTA crescendo loopback. So remember, know your call to action, crescendo it, but then if you really want to drive them crazy, do the loopback. The loopback is, have you ever seen a great comedian? Comedians are famous for doing the loopback at the end. They told a great funny joke in the middle of their speech, in the middle of their comedy hour, I should say. And at the end of the comedy hour, they kind of end on the same joke, but they tied another joke to that previous joke and they end on that. That's called a loopback, right? So they introduced it over here and at the end, they brought it back in. That's what great comedians do. They bring back in a former joke they told and tie it to the last joke. That's a loopback. So that's what I want you to do as a speaker. Try it. It's super powerful. Let me give you an example of mine. Mine's not funny. Mine's really dramatic. Okay, most of you all, I hope by now you've heard or seen me talk about my car accident, okay? There was a moment when I was on the hood of this car, you know, after sort of my live, love, matter experience where I felt very blessed to be alive. And I felt myself, you know, saying to God that I wanted to earn this. And I wanted to earn this blessing of being alive. I wanted to earn this breath. I wanted to earn the second chance I felt like I just received. Because I felt like everything, somehow I went from this place of total fear in the accident to knowing I was going to be okay. And I wanted to earn that gift. And so there's a moment in my speech where I am in this moment again in the car accident, and I'm talking about how I want to earn this, and I use this particular gesture, and I say earn this in a specific way, okay? It's a really powerful moment, you know, probably in the first 25% of my speech. Well, at the end of the speech now, I change it, but I do a loop back. The very end of the speech, now it's a different energy, a different power. Now the earning is for them, but I tell them to go, I talk about the opportunity of why we're all here and about their responsibility and their ability to lead and the opportunity to make a difference in the world. And I tell them to go earn the opportunity. Go out these doors today, go out the doors of your homes and organizations for the rest of your life, guys, and go earn this. But I say it with a huge boom, right? Big power. It's for them. I tell them to go earn it. I earned it earlier. At the end, they go earn it. And it's a loop back. And it's super, like, as soon as I do it, boom. And it brings back that previous moment. So it's heavy. So I've crescendoed, and then boom, earn this. And the way I say it and the way I hold myself, there's this strength behind it. It's a call to action. And I hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you guys for having me here. And the place just, oh, Jesus. And then you're out of their mind. And it's a standing ovation every single time. If you do a loop back on the top of a crescendo, watch out, universe. Those are my favorite 7 tips for having a great speech.
Yes, my friends, I hope you enjoyed this special episode, sort of behind the scenes look into my influencer career. If you enjoy this and you would like to learn more, just get yourself over to influencermagazine.com. Go ahead and select whether you'd like to come to the live event or to the online training called Influencer Business Program. Both options are there on the page at influencermagazine.com. For those wondering what's up, you know, we've been working behind the scenes all year on launching Influencer Magazine. It'll be launching late winter with an unbelievable episode. It's gonna be a digital magazine, and we're really excited about it because honestly, some of the biggest influencers in the world have just been freaking out once we announced this because our industry really hasn't had a voice and it really hasn't had best practices. And honestly, it hasn't had a lot of leadership. And for those of you who know my career over the last decade, as I used to teach Experts Academy, you know, we had literally millions of people who learned online marketing from me. And as the world's transferred into this time of social media, but also a time in which so many people are on social media and so-called influencers, they don't know best practices. They don't know the values of the industry. They don't know how to really build a business that scales. They're just after likes or following or narcissistic stuff instead of really making a difference. So I'm bringing that type of value ethic into the new influencer career by leading the magazine, leading the annual conference, and leading the major online training all under the influencer brand. And I'd love for you to take part of that, but also get to experience the growth of this industry. You know, it's a $1 billion industry where, I mean, every single day, listen, people have the opportunity to follow you, to buy from you, to share your message. And so my question is, why aren't you there more heavily? You know, why don't you share your wisdom, your life experience, or even just your passions? Whether you're sharing your stuff or you're curating an experience or a community, there is a way for you to earn income at this, build a real business and a real audience worldwide doing it. You just need the step-by-step instruction. So go to influencermagazine.com and either join us at the live annual conference again, October 10th through 12th in San Diego, or join us in the online training program called Influencer Business Program. We call it that because if you're going to wade in this territory, you should have the ambition to build a real business that allows you to have your lifestyle freedom, that allows you to make your difference, that you enjoy, that makes you the money that you need and really impacts people. That's the Influencer Business Program, which you can again access via going to influencermagazine.com. All right, we'll continue this series. I hope you enjoy this episode. If you do, make sure you share it with 4 or 5 friends who are also trying to build their audience or make a difference in the world or who might be interested in these types of learnings that you just listened to. I appreciate you all. I'm so excited to bring you more and more insight into sort of behind the scenes of how my industry and my career has worked. I will continue here on these podcasts to share a lot of personal development. This series is just running while we're promoting Influencer 2019. So I hope you'll enjoy it and you'll share these episodes. Make sure you take a screenshot, share it with your friends, give them the link, but also share it and tag me so that I know that you're listening to these episodes and you're getting value from them. Share with me what you liked, what you really learned from, so that we can not only recognize and reward you, but that we can also invite you in. All right, go to influencermagazine.com. Until next time, my friends, go out there every single day. Remember, you can live fully, you can love openly, and you can make a difference by sharing your voice with the world right now. Hey, it's Brendan from the studio here. I want to jump in one more time and tell you about one of our partners, and that is Kajabi. If you've ever seen any of my marketing online, or you have gotten an email from me, or you've just admired kind of what we built by selling, you know, 20 plus blockbuster online courses, or where I go live in my membership areas, or how I accept money online, now well over $100 million over the years. How do I do all that? I've always used Kajabi. It's spelled K-A-J-A-B-I. And Kajabi just helps online entrepreneurs take flight because we all have to do the same thing, right? We have to figure out, okay, how do I build a web page? How do I capture emails and send emails and funnels and newsletters? How do I put content up that's for free, but also content up that's behind a paywall that I can charge money for? How do I build those membership sites? How do I organize my podcast or my blog? How do I accept money and create checkouts and order bumps and one-click upsells? How does all of that actually work? You know, if you're a life coach, how do you actually talk to a client and connect with them and schedule with them and serve them and give them a members portal area? If you're teaching online courses, how do you actually put up the course and set up automations to sell the course? And to trigger things like an email to go out when they successfully complete one of your modules. Kajabi does all of that. You even get templates that I helped build and I personally wrote to help you write even better emails to your audience. That's at kajabi.com, K-A-J-A-B-I.com.
If you wanted the system that most of us in the thought leader or the expert economy really use and we've relied on for years, go to Kajabi.com. Hey gang, it's Brendan. I'm going to change gears real quick and talk about another show here on the Growth Day Podcast Network, Lori Harder. Her show is called Earn Your Happy. This is a monster podcast if you've never heard of it before. Earn Your Happy is all about Lori talking with people and sharing her own journey of being an entrepreneur and trying to find happiness in life. And I love her phrase, earn your happy. You know, if you've ever heard me tell my car accident story, I felt like at that moment, I got life's golden ticket, that second chance. But I also felt like this feeling that I had to earn it, to earn that second chance. So when I got to know Lori and she told me her show was called Earn Your Happy, I was like, ah, it's one of my favorite words in the English language, earn. To earn the gifts we've been given, to earn the life that we want, to work for it, to strive for it. I just love it. And Lori is like, listening to her episodes, I told her the other day, I was like, it's kind of like listening to a best friend talk about, you know, their ambitions and what they're trying to do. And she's such a great interviewer as well, by the way, that I think you're gonna get new perspectives about life. You'll laugh a lot, you'll be motivated, and you'll learn from somebody who's out there actually doing the work, building a great business and life and family. Go subscribe to Lori Harder's podcast. It's called Earn Your Happy. You can subscribe anywhere you're listening, including right now on this platform. So please go subscribe to Lori Harder's Earn Your Happy podcast. Hey, I wanted to hop in here and share with you my love for community.com. Every major celebrity uses this. US presidents use this. The biggest companies in the world use this. They give you a 10-digit phone number, but it's kind of like having an inbox for your texting. You can segment it to people and they can reply back. And it's just really cool because you can also send video and you can send audio. And it's so beautiful of a design that it's really easy to figure out. You know, I don't like all those other systems that send out like some weird little code that you just know is like a promotion. The reason they called it community.com is because they really believe you have to have a text community in the modern era. Texting adds a whole other level. People open up their texts way more. It's way more, you know, effective as a promotional vehicle. And it's something that I deeply, deeply believe in. In fact, I invested in them and I've advised the senior team. I'm telling you what, my audience loves it. It's increased the engagement across everything I do. And you can get a free demo when you go to community.com. Just like it sounds, community.com. Check it out.